Let's read together in God's word from Matthew chapter 5. And it says there in the verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And obviously I've read the verse that we're going to look at tonight, which is, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." But let's just find a wee word of prayer before we begin. Dear Lord, as we come to you tonight, we just thank you, Lord, for this another night at Lestudder. We're thankful for the opportunity to come and speak from your word. And we just ask, Lord, you'll undertake for us tonight, Lord. You'll be with us. Give me the words to say, Lord. Help me to be just a vessel. Help me to be like the potter's wheel. Just mold me and teach me the things that you want me to say to the young people. We're thankful for everybody here from every household that's represented. It's wonderful to see young people who want to be in the place of God, worshiping and honoring God and all that they do. And we just pray, Lord, you'll bless each of the young people here and all that they set out to do, whether it's in work or study or in school, and be with them in the coming weeks, Lord. For it's in your name we ask these things. Amen. So first of all, whenever I was starting to look at this, I was reading the Beatitudes, and I was looking at, and the word blessed kept coming up, and I thought, well, I'm just going to look at that word for a start. And blessed just means happiness, one who is blessed, one who is happy or is well off. Somebody who wants to be happy, somebody who is happy. But who is happy and how are we meant to be happy? If we were to ask people around Lestudder, and I know it's not a big place, but there are people that live here, and if we ask people around Lestudder, what does it mean to be happy, they probably would say, well, if I had a good job, that would be, I would be happy, or if I had a job even. If I have a job with a big salary, it would be even better. Maybe I'm gonna play professional sports, I'm gonna become famous, that will give me happiness. Maybe it's good relationships or good friends that they want. Or maybe they want the big house, the two holidays a year, a boat, all the gadgets that you could ever want. Maybe that's what they think will give them happiness. And in today's world especially, some people say that just to do whatever I want, that makes me happy. But you see, God is happy and he wants us to be happy. Because God was happy for all eternity. God shows us that happiness can't be found in material things because God was happy. He's been happy forever. He has been there without any career or without any qualification or possessions or relationships. God is a happy God. And he's been happy for all eternity. He never changes us. He never changes. And happiness, from a human perspective, can be found in God through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that's why I think sometimes people are so unhappy in our world, is because they don't actually know God and they're not living their lives for God, because God created us in his image. And really we were created to worship God and to enjoy him. And that's what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They were to enjoy God and be in his presence. In the cool of the day, Adam walked with God and they spoke with each other, and Adam was created to enjoy God. But yet when sin entered the world, then sin separated us from God. And that means that people are unhappy because they're not living their life for God, because sin entered in. And that is only really how you can really be truly happy, is if you're a believer, if you're saved, if you're a Christian. You can put all these names on it, but it really means that you've realized that you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity because of what happened in the garden in Eden, and because of your sin, you're separated from God. And in order for you to get happiness, is you need to come to God and you need to ask for forgiveness of your sins. And then you can be truly happy in God. And a lot of people say to me, but, I'm a Christian and, you know, life's still hard. It doesn't mean that I'm happy all the time, and that's so true. It doesn't mean that just because you're saved and you're a Christian that it will be an easy ride. It still can be a difficult difficult paths we have to take. But because you're living for God, you have this constant, because you're in God and you're living for God. And that's what the Beatitudes are really teaching us. They're showing us how we should live as a Christian on earth. And it would be impossible to do this, because no one ever says, well, people might say, I'm going to try and be more meek. And I'm going to explain what that is in a minute. But you could try to do that as best we can, but you're still not going to be as meek as you could be. And tonight we're going to look particularly at meekness, because there's much we can learn from this. Because it says in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So we've covered that in order to be happy, to be blessed, you need to be saved, you need to be living for God. But then he goes on to say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So what does meek actually mean? And I had to look this up, because I was like, I have no idea. And my wife was like, what are you speaking on the Saturday? I was like, meekness. She's like, what is meekness? Nope, no idea. And I was like, it sort of means you're like, and that's literally what it sort of means, and I wasn't really sure. So I went to the dictionary, and the Cambridge dictionary says this. It says, the quality of being quiet, gentle, and unwilling to argue or express your opinions. Everything that I am not, okay? So I am not a meek person, because I can be loud. I can be a bit rough. And I can be argumentative. Ask my wife. And I will always be willing to express my opinion, okay? So that is not what meekness is if you're doing these things. But the Lord says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, it doesn't mean that meekness is weakness. It doesn't mean that you should be a walkover. But it means that you should be try to be these things. And particularly from a spiritual point of view, as a Christian, you should try to show some meekness. So from a practical, earthly way, a meek man is somebody, or a meek woman is somebody who's selfless, who puts themselves right in the background, doesn't want to be out in front. But they'll help people, they'll do things for people, but they don't want to be recognized. That's somebody who's meek. And then there's the meek man, meek men or women, they don't speak evil. They're not hasty in speech. They don't make spiteful comments. They don't swear, or they don't use innuendo. They show meekness to all men, regardless of color or creed or background. Okay? And that's what a practical sort of representation of meekness is. It even says in Titus 3:2, somebody who's meek is not a brawler, he's not angry. There's somebody who's meek doesn't always take offense at everything. They just listen to people's opinions and then just don't, react as it were. Somebody who holds grudges, well, that's not a sign of meekness. And you shouldn't always hold grudges. You should forgive that person, because the bitterness within you, when you hold a grudge, it can eat at you, and it eats at your person, and it becomes, the grudge that you had with that person can become much bigger than it originally was. So a meek person is not angry. A meek person is gentle. My grandfather, whenever I was thinking about this, my grandad Boyd, he was a meek man. Because I never seen him angry. Or he never really spoke bad of somebody. But if somebody did wrong from a Christian perspective, he would have called them out on it. Because that was, as a believer, you should do that. But he never judged anybody. Or he just never got angry. I see him in these things. And to me, he was like he showed me how to be meek and how to be gentle. He's away to glory now, but even through his life, I can still see those things. Abraham is a great example of meekness in the Bible, because when him and Lot fell out, and well, it was really their herdsmen, and they were arguing over like what ground, and your sheep's eating my grass, and your sheep's eating my grass, and you've got too many sheep, and I haven't got enough sheep. They're always arguing, and Abraham was like, right, okay, well, we'll just pick ground. And he asked Lot, which ground do you want? And Lot thought that he was picking the good ground, and Abraham took the other ground. But Abraham showed meekness. Really, Abraham was the elder, and Abraham should have had the first choice. Somebody who is meek is not really aggressive or impatient. Are we like that? I can be very impatient. People say, my wife always says, everybody thinks you're just real chilled all the time. But when you get home, you can be really impatient. And I'm like, Yeah, I could be, sometimes I'm like, let's go, come on, let's go. I can be very impatient. And that's not a sign of meekness. Moses in the Bible was a meek, very meek man. It even says in Numbers 12 and 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. So there was meek men in the Bible who showed these traits, who had these traits. Even Christ himself was probably the meekest of them all. When he was in Pilate's presence, he didn't say a word. He didn't say, I didn't do this, or they've got it wrong, or you've got the wrong guy, or he didn't say that. Pilate asked him a question, and I looked at this in Matthew and in Luke, and just at that portion, particularly that portion when people were coming in and bearing false witness of Jesus, and Pilate asked him, he said, are you the king of the Jews? And all Christ said was, thou sayest it. He didn't retaliate, he didn't do anything, he just was meek about it. And these things show meekness. The things that I've talked about, like not being angry or, you know, not being impatient or not retaliating or not holding grudges, these are things which, you know, show us practically, earthly, like what it means to be meek. But whenever I looked at it, I was like, but I really want to get into it here. I really want to understand, like, what is meekness? And normally a word is defined normally by its context. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Yes, the Bible shows us who was meek, Moses and Abraham and Christ. But I began to look at other places in the Bible to show you if there was meekness talked about there. And that's what you should do as young people, especially when you're studying the Bible. You know, you can like jump around and look at different things and look at verses in context to one another. Because the Bible's amazing, as we all know. It's all linked, you know. And whenever I started to look at it, I turned to Psalm 37. So let's turn to Psalm 37. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to like start preaching another sermon, so don't panic. But let's turn to Psalm 37. And let's just turn to it there. We're not going to go through the whole chapter, but we're just going to look at it, okay? Because it says in Psalm 37 verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And whenever I looked at that and I looked at Matthew 5:5, I seen a lot of similarities. Because it says in Matthew 5:5, the meek shall inherit the earth, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. But in Psalm 37:11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And I wanted to look at this passage in the context of Matthew 5:5. And to really understand what it means to be meek and the blessing of meekness. Okay? So if you look at Psalm 37:1, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Okay, so apply this to somebody who is meek, okay? And read this chapter. So in Psalm 37:1 it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now remember who a Christian is. He's a man behind enemy lines. He is in a fallen world surrounded by darkness, by the rents of power of the air, children of wrath all around, evildoers all around us. And the one thing that we notice of the meek man is that fret not thyself because of evildoers. The meek man does not fret. He's not running around in a state of panic because of the political situation or if something's going wrong. Why does he not fret? Because he has confidence in God. The meek man has confidence in God. The meek man is not oblivious to things that are going on. Like, a meek person is not somebody who's like, burr. You know, they're aware of what's going on around them, but the meek man is not sleeping, but he is trusting in God. Because just all the bad things that are happening in the world, or maybe that are happening in your life at this time, doesn't compare to the one who controls the universe. It's like fretting because a tiny man is going to attack you. I remember one time we were in Belfast and it was late on. John, you may have been there. I can't really remember. You may have been. And we went for chips in a place called Bishop's, which is right in the centre of town. And this was very late on. I think we were at a meeting and it was very late. It was like maybe like 11 a.m. or 12 on a Friday night. And we were in the chip shop and we were just standing there. I was like, oh, I'm just going to have a chip. and I was just standing in the queue, and these guys came in, and they obviously had been drinking alcohol, and they were drunk. And there was, the guy just walked in, and they were standing, and then I was just like standing, like literally just shit-faced, and he's like, "What are you looking at?" And like for the next 5 minutes, all he wanted to do was like beat me up. And I was just like, "I don't want to do it. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Just give me my chips. Leave me alone." I was freaking out, right? And I was like, really like, "Oh my goodness." But like all my friends were there. And they were much stronger than me. So like, it would have been like one guy against like 10 of us. But even still, I was like, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to die," right? And I was fretting, right? And that's like the meek man. He doesn't fret because he knows that he has this bodyguard called God, who's in control of his life, who will protect him and look after him. He doesn't fret because he knows what God is, the character of God, and he has confidence in him. It even says there that we shouldn't be envious. "Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." What does this mean? In this world, it seems that those who do wrong prosper. That's what it seems like in our world now today. It seems that the people who want to do wrong, they prosper. Let's take, for example, the laws of abortion in Northern Ireland. And they were sort of just, they just appeared in Northern Ireland and they were just sort of put upon us, as it were. So to the point where the voiceless have no voice. And as Christians, I believe in, you know, all life shouldn't be taken. And this really got me down. Really got me down. Because, I don't know if you know, but with the new abortion laws, there's things like if you have a child with Down syndrome, you can just have it aborted because they just think, well, that child, it's not worth it. It's just take it away because it can't live. But I know people with that condition and their life is so full and they enrich other people's lives. And there's even things like people like me with disabilities, they could just be taken away. And I sort of think, was my life not worth living? And this really got me down. This really got me down. But then I had to remember, I had to say, okay, well, God is sovereign. And he's in control of these things. The meek man doesn't look at the wicked, or he doesn't envy them. He doesn't look at men who have compromised spiritually to gain and envy them. Even the psalmist here was envious. But yet when he went to the temple, or back to the temple, he seen God. And he knew that God was in control. And that's what I'm trying to show you here. The meek man does not worry or fret. He doesn't envy the wicked man for the same reason. He has a strong confidence in God. Because it says, because we know that the wicked shall be cut down as the grass. And the meek man can't know this from experience. We know this, you know, sometimes in our lives, we see wicked men and they're taken from their position, okay? But generally, we don't see that. Yes, it does happen. Like, we think of Saddam Hussein or these other world leaders who were taken out of their positions, these wicked men. But generally, this doesn't happen. But a meek man has to have confidence in God and he knows that God is in control. Even amongst evildoers. And that's what a meek man, he doesn't worry about these things. He doesn't fret. Then when we look at the verse 3, it says, "And trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." You see, the meek man trusts in God. He knows that there's people who are rejecting God, running away from God. But what is he doing? The meek man is trusting in God. He's leaving it up to him. Trust in the Lord and do good. And thou shalt dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed. The meek man is walking towards God when the world is running away from God. The meek man is running towards God. It's like a horse with blinders on. I don't know if there's any horsemen in here. My granddad was a horseman. I have no idea about horses, right? But he used to talk about blinkers all the time, right? And I was like, what are they? He's like, blinkers, put them on, and then the horse can't see. And because horses see, if they see stuff out here, they're like, ah! But if they see up things here, they're like, I'm all good, I'm going to keep running. And I was like, okay, very good. But they're like, these men are like horses with blinkers. They have eyes just for God. The meek man has eyes just for God. The meek man is not distracted. He is focused on God. And the meek man is prepared to stay. It says, dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The meek man doesn't worry about where he's going to live, or where he's going to, is he going to get enough food to eat? Because the Lord tells him, is you're going to have these things. You're going to have these things if you trust in God. And he's going to stay in the land. But he'll only move when it's the will of God. Yes, of course, sometimes we have to change direction. Maybe we have to do things. But what he does is he waits for God. He waits for him. Because he wants to dwell in the land and delight also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But he waits. He waits for him. If the Lord says go, he goes. If he doesn't say go, then he waits. The meek man waits. It's like whenever you try to teach a dog to stay, right? A dog will just like run around all the time, like all the time, without doing anything. But if you try to get a teacher dog to stay, it's difficult. And sometimes as Christians, the Lord wants us to stop running about. He just wants us to trust in him and wait for him and wait patiently for him. Because a meek man will do that. They will not just be making hasty decisions or changing direction. They will wait upon the Lord. As a young man, and even today, like I'm running about here, running about there. I have to do this. Oh my God, so much to do. Always running about. And like it's real, it's bad. And then you get like stressed out about stuff and you're like, oh my God, there's like so much to do. Oh my God, it's just awful. I'm never going to get through it. Emma, help me. It's just like you've done this to yourself. And then you're like, I'm always like stressed about. But what I should really be doing is just waiting on the Lord and trusting in him. We should just be focused on God. And that's what the meek man does. The meek man doesn't fret, and he stays focused on God, and he waits for God to show him the answers. Also, the meek man delights himself in the Lord. The meek man delights himself in the Lord, and he enjoys him. How do we delight in the Lord? Well, we delight in the Lord by praising him, or by reading our Bibles, or worshiping him, or being in church, or wherever we go. That's worshiping the Lord, even in our own private prayers at home. We're worshiping the Lord. We're delighting in him. We're delighting in the things that he can do. Because your strength comes from the Lord. People say somebody who's meek is weak, but actually they're the strongest, because their strength comes from God. Like it says in Isaiah 40, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Maybe you in your Christian walk, you feel a little bit weak right now, or you feel downhearted, or maybe you're just worried about pressures. Maybe you've got exams coming up, or maybe you don't know what you're going to do next year because you're going to get in, and you're just sort of exasperated with the whole situation. What does the meek man do? They wait upon the Lord. They shall renew their strength. If you just wait for God, sometimes he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, if you wait for the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And that's what God wants. God wants us to give us blessings. It doesn't always mean, people take this the wrong way. They think that, oh, God will give me the desires of my heart, so I want £1 million. It doesn't work like that, right? Or like I want like this type of car. Or I want to live here. It doesn't work like that. But the Lord can give you the desires, the things that you really need. The things that you really, really need in your life. It might not be things like material things. It could be spiritual things. It could be the chance to get married or have a family or, you know, have a home or have household salvation. You know, I have a little son now and he's 1.5 and he's mental. And I love him. I really love him because he's my son. And I'm like, I love you, but he's still a sinner. And what I really want is, I want him to get saved and to know the Lord. And I ask the Lord for household salvation. That isn't a material thing. It's a spiritual thing. I want our family to be united through Christ. And these are the desires of my heart, but yours could be different. Sometimes the Lord will bless us with very little money, but the blessing he gives us far outweighs the millions that a millionaire would have. He gives us the desires of our heart when we need it. Because we're in charge of doing one thing, and that is doing what the Master says. It is obeying God, committing God to your life. You see, the world tries to provide for itself. Young people today, I work in a university. So many young people have issues with mental health and these things, and they're looking for the world, they're looking to the world to try and solve these problems. And even young people I talk to, they have everything. You know, they have everything that they would want in life, and they're still not happy. And the reason why they're not happy is because they're not doing what the master says. They're not trusting in Jesus. Because we should be delighting in the Lord. And that's what the meek man does. He delights himself in the Lord. And like I said, the meek man rests in the Lord in verse 7 of Psalm 37. He rests in the Lord. And he waits patiently for him. But then in verse 8, what does it say? It says to cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any ways to do evil. You see, you have to, you shouldn't be angry. You should be, as a meek person, you should cease from anger. And that can be a difficult thing to do. Sometimes I can be like, you can get angry. Especially when I'm driving. It's like drivers in Ballyhinch and they don't know the filter lane in the one-way system and they just like have to get in and you're like, there's a whole other road to go down before you. And I get really angry about that. Sometimes, which I know is like first world problems kind of know, but like sometimes it's just, it's very, very annoying. And I get angry, but the meek man, it says here, ceases from anger and forsakes wrath. Okay? And that's what we need to do because we need to trust in the Lord. We need to wait patiently for him. We need to cease from anger and forsake wrath. We don't need to retaliate. Even in a bad situation, my personality, if somebody like attacks me, the first thing, I just want to like attack them back. I don't mean like beating them up. I just mean like, if somebody says something to me, I'm just like, I have to like, just the words, it just like comes out of my mouth. And I can't help it. And it's wrong. And it shouldn't be that way. You don't need to get angry in bad situations or retaliate. You should trust in the Lord and lean on him because God will vindicate you. And he will help you in these situations. Because that's what it says in Psalm 37 verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Because the meek man has peace in his life. He doesn't need to get angry. He doesn't need to worry about the future or the situation that's occurring because they're trusting in the Lord. Because the abundance of peace from whom? From God. Once you have peace in God, like there's nothing else. There's nothing else that is like it. Particularly in a bad situation, when you get a peace from God, he comes in and he just takes away all that bad feeling and you know that God's in control of these things. And so many times in my own personal experience, I've felt that. It doesn't happen like all the time, but there's times where there's been really difficult situations. And all you can say is cry unto God and say, Lord, help me. You know, help me here. And he just comes in and gives you real peace. And you have a strength in knowing that God is in control. Because blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, if you trust it, if you're meek in your life, if you put God first, don't fret about what people are doing, neither be envious. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, for example, if you want to commit your way unto the Lord and you may be praying about a situation and you're saying, Lord, direct me in the right way. But, you know, we all want it yesterday. But the Lord says, rest and wait patiently. So sometimes whenever you pray for something, you have to wait. You have to wait. There's times where, in my own personal experience, I've had to pray about a situation. And I do a wee thing now and I'm not saying it's real good, right? But if you write like prayer requests or things you've prayed about in a little book, and you just keep, because you forget, because my brain is awful and I can't remember, like, I was lucky that I was even here tonight, to be honest. But I can't remember things, right? But I write them down. And then see, like a year later, you go back to them and you're like, well, actually, that all worked out and that worked out and that worked out. And but sometimes it just doesn't happen straight away. Sometimes it takes months or years for it to work out because you have to rest and wait patiently for the Lord. And you should cease from anger and forsake wrath. That is a sign of weakness. So let's just go through them. From Psalm 37, we know that as a meek person, we don't need to fret. We don't need to worry about the future. We don't need to be envious. We need to trust in the Lord and do good. And we therefore then delight in the Lord. We should commit our way unto the Lord. That's a sign of a meek person. Committing our way unto God. We should rest patiently and wait patiently for him and fret not. And then cease from anger and forsake wrath. This is what it means to be meek. This is what it means to be meek. Are we meek tonight? When was the last time we flew off the handle? When was the last time that we prayed to God and wanted an answer and didn't get it and then didn't commit our way unto the Lord? Or When was the last time we worried about some situation? You know? And by being meek, we shall inherit the earth. Doesn't mean that we will inherit riches, but we will have blessings on earth. But ultimately, we will inherit heaven as believers, and we will be with God. And that is really the end goal. That's where you want to be. And you can only have those blessings, you can only have those things if you're truly trusting in God. Are you trusting in God tonight? Are you trusting in Him? I know some here, I don't know all. And my prayer is that if you've never trusted in Jesus, that you will do that. And you'll commit your way onto the Lord, because once you do that, then you can be like the Beatitudes, and you can be meek, and you can be all these things. I hope, young people, that that's been useful. Or maybe it hasn't, I don't know. But let's try and be meek. After I did this study, I was like, I'm going to try and be meek. But the thing is, it's going to be impossible to be meek all of the time, because our sinful nature means that we do things that we shouldn't. But we should all aim and try to be meek as best we can.